Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome, friends. You're listening to the Football Ramble from North London. I make no comments about what colour it is. It's Monday the 7th of December. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Stog Hall Pete Donaldson.
And I'm a very red Jim Campbell.
But we're not here to talk about that, ladies and gentlemen, are we? No, we're not, Pete. What were you up to?
We are a little.
In a bit we will.
And
my face will be red the whole time, though, so don't worry.
Oh, what were you up to, Pete? Did you have a lovely weekend?
I did have a lovely weekend. What did I do? Popped into town. Wow, town was busy. Goodness. Wow, don't go into town, everyone. You're going to get sick.
Because now you're a countryside dweller. It must be very strange coming up from to the big city.
And what does town mean? Is that like the village town where?
No, just going into town. In London town. Right. Wow, there's a lot of shoppers around.
Mm. Everyone's rude.
Everyone's rude.
£6 of coffee. No one talks.
No one looks
at you on the tube.
No one says hi. Yeah. Oh, it sounds stressful.
It was a little bit stressful, but I got out, got what needed to be done and then got out again. So all good.
It's Christmas, isn't it?
It is. People are going, why would anybody want to go into town and queue up for ages to spend 5 minutes walking around Selfridges?
Give all your money to Amazon.
Exactly.
God damn it.
Right.
Exactly.
Or Etsy. Someone make a little wire figurine for your Christmas with your name on it.
Have you got a tree? You,
yes,
Jim?
I do have a tree.
Have you got a tree, Pete?
Yes, I have.
I've got a tree as
well. Yay, tree guys.
The festivity is beautiful. I haven't got any decorations. If you want to send decorations to the Ramble, feel free.
We'll put whatever you send on the tree.
Go into town, get yourself some decorations, Kate.
No, what? No, I thought we just agreed that we weren't doing that.
But you said you don't have decorations.
Yeah, but Pete just said we shouldn't go into town because it's dangerous and full of death.
Good point, good point. Yeah, well, get them from Etsy then. But get some decorations, Kate. Come on, you've got to have decorations on your tree.
Yeah.
I know.
Otherwise, there's just a tree in your house. It looks like you're confused about where everything goes. You've got your telly in the garden. You probably don't have a telly, do you?
Yes, I've got a telly, as you know, from writing that.
I love the little meeting we had. The little meeting we had before the show was, we've got a very busy show. We're gonna have to drop emails.
Yeah. And now we're on my telly. I've actually got two tellies. Ooh.
Magical.
Do you know what we've also got to talk about quickly right now? Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. There's a new episode of The Book Club out today on Football Ramble Presents. It's me, it's Jim, and it's Jamie Bloody Redknapp. You didn't take it up with him, I realise, Jim, that you plan to, about how a 47-year-old man can still be called Jamie.
I didn't, but because well, I've read his book, so I know it is just his name. It's just what it says on the birth certificate.
So his name isn't Jim.
No, he is just Jamie. Forget his middle name, Redknapp.
Magic.
And it will surprise absolutely nobody to learn that Jamie Redknapp is literally a diamond.
Yeah, yeah. I like what you did there. What else did he say, Jim?
I can't remember. You'd have to listen to it.
What else did he say, Jim?
You'd have to listen to it to know, wouldn't you?
What did he say about you, Jim?
He said I looked good. So
you do look good.
Thanks, mate.
Jim.
And
you're
Jamie Redknapp.
Getting better with age.
Cheers, mate.
He said, Jim's looking in great shape.
Yo. Have you met him before? How did he know?
No, I haven't. We were just talking about
general
fitness.
You could have put on lots of
fitness and motivation. Right. And he just, Jamie Redknapp said I look good. Has that ever happened to anyone else? Probably listening? No. So go and listen to it. I don't know why those two things relate. But.
Among a lot of other things, he also talks about biting his toenails and various other
He did talk about biting his toenails.
So he's a man of unusual taste, let's say. I'm not saying that's about Jim. I'm just saying that that might be true.
It's a disgusting talent, which is a rare thing.
A disgusting talent.
Yeah. Well, it is, isn't it? I couldn't do that.
Think of other examples of a disgusting talent.
Don't say that with tea.
Like farting the national anthem or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. I would never fart the national anthem. I'm not a nationalist. I'd fart the French one.
Actually, the French anthem is amazing.
Yeah.
To fart.
Just in general, but I assume so, yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't feature any of that, apart from the biting toenails and the bit that definitely did happen where Jamie Redknapp said that Jim looked fit. So I would say, what better plug than that? Listen to The Book Club, please. That's it now, actually. That's the end of the episode. No, it isn't. Because guess what's coming up now, friends? It is just the lovely and glorious Tottenham Hotspur Stadium hosting the lovely and glorious Tottenham Hotspur fans, 2,000 of them. Welcoming Arsenal into their midst politely and generously, I should say, sending them on their way only with a 2-0 defeat.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. But I know that's
do you think
mad,
you got off lightly?
Before the game, no, I wouldn't say we got off lightly, and I'll come on to why that is, but I did think before the game that it could have been a lot worse than that, just because Arsenal have been so blunt lately, and Spurs have been really good when they've wanted to be and needed to be, and I think they just sort of held Arsenal at arm's length, and it's been interesting seeing the two different reactions from different fan bases, because I think there's a sense that it was a huge, huge crisis and that Arsenal were terrible. And I don't think they were necessarily terrible. They were just up against a better team and just illustrated that actually right now this team just isn't that good. Mm. There were some sloppy mistakes. Hector Bellerin is making foul throws just constantly. It's not the first time he's done it this season by a long stretch. And it's really strange with some sloppy passing.
It's like when Cavani didn't have his shoes on when he was supposed to go on in the second half. Like,
it is
guys,
a basic
these are
fundament.
Basics.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Absolutely.
These people are building on their nutrition on like a granular basis day to day.
But not putting their shoes on. Yeah.
Anyway, side point.
Oh, I've still got my eye mask on from when I was in bed. What's going on? But I think just the general standards are very sloppy, lots of sort of missed passes, hopeful diagonal balls into the box that were never really going to stand a chance of anyone getting on the end of them, threaded passes that gave a sort of forward player too much to do, and just a lot of stuff that was just really, really bang average. So that's why I thought actually it might have been worse if the game was a bit more open then I think Arsenal could have got caught on the break a lot more. But Spurs didn't really seem that interested in doing that because I think they knew that they didn't really need to. And
after they'd done it twice.
well, quite.
But I think that was the problem with them. They didn't deal with Spurs' counter. Spurs were so direct. And then as soon as they got two goals up, they knew for a fact that Arsenal, who have scored fewer goals than Newcastle this season in the league, and Newcastle took the weekend off because of coronavirus, sharing the big paddling pool, they're in a situation where you know for a fact Arsenal aren't going to get any back, especially how well Spurs are playing at the back. So it was cute from Jose, I thought.
Letting Arsenal attack you used to be an insane decision, but Spurs were just comfortable in doing it. And actually, I think, I was surprised by the respect that Mourinho showed to Arsenal in a sense, because we've seen him employ this game plan against Chelsea, and it is clearly... He's very good horses for courses manager, isn't he, Jose? And that's the thing that...
He loves animals. I love animals. He does. Don't get me wrong. They were like animals. His Son and Kane, I think. Yeah. With all the respect to animals, I love animals. Don't get me wrong. Carry on.
I want to know which animals they are.
He loves all animals, especially horses for courses.
How is he worrying about us getting that wrong as well? When you say I love animals, I don't mean anything. Why bring it up? But I'm grateful to deflect, to be honest. He's clearly got this game plan for Spurs when they're playing teams that he thinks, you know what, if we get into a slugging match, we might not get the win here. I'm surprised he thought that about Arsenal, to be honest, given how poor they've been of late. But look at the Old Trafford game. He was like, oh, we could dick on these. Yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it. But this kind of classic Mourinho mode of shutting up shop, even in a game where you would expect a team to compete, I found really, really interesting that was how he approached this game. Because I would have thought that he wouldn't need to.
I have a slightly different take on it, as you might imagine, which is, first of all, let's briefly mention Son's incredible goal to open the scoring with. However, as you talked about, Pete, probably the counter-attacking, it was an incredible control and pass from Harry Kane for the assist, and then, of course, a beautiful goal. But it was just bizarre that they were in so many acres of space. That Son was in so many acres of space.
Do you not think that Kane is... that Son is just so fast and so good with both feet that...
But it's not like you don't know that, is
it? Yeah, I know, but narrowing the distance between the defender and Son is not going to help you, because he can beat you at pace every time, especially when you're facing him. So I do understand why people back off. And it was an incredible
But I think
finish.
It was a pass, wasn't it? It was the change of side, but anyone could have told you what was about to happen.
Rob Holding's not a quick player, though. No. That's the biggest deficiency in his game, and Leno's starting position in goal wasn't great for that one. The second goal was frustrating as well, because obviously Thomas Partey just left the pitch, which left some of that space. So that's one of those things you can't really account for that happening in a game, so that's unfortunate.
Arsenal had chances, but their dead balls were awful at times.
Just crosses into crosses.
If you're Arteta, what are you doing on the training ground if that's what your
just
net
crosses.
Result?
Yeah, no throw-ins. Apparently, assumes everyone knows how to do that, but not unreasonably.
But I mean, I think watching, I think it was probably about 5 minutes from the end, I think Aubameyang had a chance, and Alderweireld did so well. He watched and waited and waited and waited and waited until Aubameyang took a shot and just went straight down for it. It was magnificent.
Aubameyang's form is a real worry.
Alderweireld is back in the side and it is brilliant to see. Interestingly, Jimmy, he actually made more clearances than the whole of the Arsenal team in the game, which is 11 to 10.
Right.
The stats look back to front, don't they? But it just shows you how toothless Arsenal were, really. It was something like 44 crosses. They had a lot of possession. Spurs were happy to let them sort of attack. And that's the frustrating thing. If a team's happy to let you attack them, you've got to teach them a lesson there. Do you know what I mean? You've got to show...
What lesson was it? Like, Latin second period. They had nothing. I just didn't feel like they had anything.
Exactly.
The point you're making about it being blunt.
Yeah.
It just what it felt. I know that I didn't actually hear the commentary because I was doing sports bulletins for Sky News last night, which is something else that I do. It's actually quite fun. Anyway, I didn't hear most of the post match, and I know that people were being a bit down on Spurs for not like scoring more in the Sky studio. But all I was going to say is that what it felt like to me, from an exciting perspective, was that. The second half, it felt like it was effectively a training game. That Jose Mourinho, maybe he was paying respect, or maybe the reverse. He was saying, all right, guys, they're not going to score, but let's just check that we can make that happen. We're going to just play for 45 minutes. They're going to be able to do whatever they want, and they are not going to score against
and
us.
And it never felt like we were going to get through.
No. It never and I've seldom watched a Spurs team and thought that.
But how often have you watched a Mourinho team and thought that? So many times. It does feel like he has transplanted his Mourinho-ness onto them. And the fact that they brought Joe Roden on while 2-0 up on 91 minutes, you can only read that as a dig from a rhyme set. But it's fair enough, isn't it?
It's like, do you not think it's like completely different to how they approach the second half against West Ham?
Yes.
And just kind of went, oh, we'll bring him on and we'll have a bit of fun.
Yes.
And look what happened. So
yeah, we can have fun once we've earned it, basically. Yeah, and I think that was a game to earn fun.
Mourinho knows
Liverpool away next. Good. Earn your fun because you're not going to enjoy the next match.
What? Yes, we are.
They're going to make sure that no one enjoys the next match. Yeah. That's how Jose does these games.
Nil, nil. Joe Roden comes on in the 91st minute. Yes, Tottenham have not conceded a goal in over 300 minutes now. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, actually, and you can, that's not surprising when you look at the game and look at how amazing Harry Kane's defensive work was.
Oh my God. He was fantastic. Like he was playing every single bit of the game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It was.
Did you see his touch map? It was literally just like
it was everywhere.
Scattergun. It was like, what is it, Andy Warhol with the dot painting?
Yeah, or the night sky.
Yeah. It was, I just thought.
Annoying.
He did his little leaning in trick at the end, didn't he? But he got away with it, didn't he?
That.
But he was clearly, he knows his card is marked for that kind of nonsense. And he was looking at the player to see if he'd really hurt himself. And he was looking at the referee while at the same time pretending that his brain was broken because he'd been kicked in the head so hard.
It needs to be regularly mentioned so that he stops doing it, right?
I think
going to get hurt.
He hadn't done it for like a while. And I think he fell into an old bit of practice there and just went, oh shit, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. Everyone knows I do it.
So yeah, we're talking about him backing into the player, sort of spear tackle rugby-esque thing. That an example of being what Jose Mourinho requested of his side?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. I don't think Mourinho's getting annoyed about it. He doesn't care about Kane's reputation. Who cares? My reputation is more important than everything.
Oh, bloody hell, who does care? Yeah, eight goals for Kane this season. 10 assists.
He's having an astonishing season, and he's just everywhere.
That's double anyone else's assist tally. Yeah.
And he's so busy that people obviously double up on him and concentrate on him. And Son is one of the best players in Europe.
Brilliant time. Yeah.
And then you've got everyone else playing. Oh man, it's good.
Yes. So what that all meant was that Tottenham go top of the Premier League table. They can spend 45 minutes. Not conceding and let a team do whatever they can, whatever it is that they do.
Arsenal were 15th, if anyone's wondering.
No, I did 15th. Know that, yeah, actually. 15th. Well, I never.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask the question about the relegation scrap, okay? We'll leave that until later on in the season. I mean, one thing to be clear on as we come on to the Liverpool 4-0 against Wolves game is that Tottenham are top of the table, top outright, okay? Not joint top. I know that that's been put in things. And indeed, last night on the bulletin, I had to absolutely hammer Simon, who was on about, who's trying to write joint top. They're not joint top. Friends, they are top.
Yeah.
Let
Stop
us
having a go at Simon.
I know.
He's not here.
He's such a good egg. There were actually two Simons on the team last night. How do they know which it was?
Psychic Simons.
Mind games. Yes, Liverpool 4, Wolves 0. Not joint top Liverpool. 2,000 fans at Anfield to see Liverpool play for the first time since they won the title, which is a
pretty special,
a lovely thing to see. And at the end, Jurgen Klopp went over to the fans and, you know, gave it the big in, as he does after like a really big win. 4-0 is obviously a large numerical win. Would we call this a big win?
Yeah, I think so. It's not like a... It's not like a thrashing or a gubbing, is it? Or is it?
No, mate.
Yeah, it's a bit of a thrashing, isn't it? But Wolves
are... I suppose you can be thrashed 4-0.
Wolves are having a stinker at the moment, so I don't think it's any... I think they'll get a few showings before Christmas.
You think Wolves will?
As many as they can numerically fit inside the games that they've got. They're not having a nice time.
Yeah, before the game, I was a bit... Oh, guys, I don't know. See, I don't know what you guys think, but I was a bit weirded out by the T-shirts with 9 and Raul on it. Because, of course, Raul Jimenez had that horrible injury in the clash of heads with David Luiz, who didn't play the weekend. And he had a fractured skull and he had a operation to help him. And he's, you know, recovering and has been asked to be left alone. And it's obviously lovely to support your teammate, but I don't know about black T-shirts with the name of your injured teammate on it. It was a little bit Neymar 2014 World Cup just before the 7-1 defeat.
Is it a bit different because it's such a serious injury?
Yeah, that was a serious injury.
A fractured skull is something where you
a
are
fractured
really...
vertebrae was what Neymar
yeah,
had.
Yeah, true.
He was absolutely fucked up.
Neymar, fucked up.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I'm
oh, fine.
Outside when everyone was sort of going, oh, I'm not sure about that. And I was going, yeah, I'm not sure about that either. Now I'm in here, I'm going, is it that? I remember that noise. I just remembered the noise that it made. I was like,
I know, but is a t-shirt, a black t-shirt?
Yeah,
with
no.
The name of your, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, it's not what I would do, but.
Why are you wearing the t-shirt just... with Jim's name on it?
Well, he's here, isn't he?
And the subject of Jamie Redknapp's thoughts all across it. That's a really nice way of supporting your mates.
I enjoyed the fact in this match that a lot of the crowd that were allowed into Anfield were just mainly spent their time shouting at Paul Scholes because Paul Scholes had been put by Amazon right next to the Anfield Road.
Hilarious.
Unhelpful.
Oh, like if you had been there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's really good. Connor Cody had a bit of a total nightmare for the first goal, Mo Salah goal. He sort of chested it, but just nowhere. You can't do that in front of Mo Salah. Mm. He nipped in and got that. And then they did nearly have a penalty after Cody went. He fell over what did subsequently look like the air. Which was it Sadio Mane's feet? He sort of tried to pull his feet back.
Yeah.
So the referee gave the penalty and then went to VAR to look at the screen and then thought, well, look, can you trip over air? Can you trip over air, Jim Campbell?
I can, but I don't know if Sadio Mane can.
Connor Cody can.
So Connor Cody, maybe, yeah. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because I think one of the narrative around VAR is so often, like, even when a decision is correct, people get angry about it because it's sort of taken up some time and it's just one of those things where it's just
Fabinho definitely found it very, very funny.
Yeah.
Proper laughing in Corey's face.
Well, it's you know, it did its job there, right?
I don't know, because of course I can see why you would fall over, or as in why you would think you need to take evasive action, don't you, if you've got legs in the air and money. It's probably the right decision on balance. I don't think it was a dive and I don't think it was a penalty, but how does that exist as a concept?
Quantum decisions.
There's a lot of grey areas, aren't there, which VAR has shown us.
There are really grey areas in refereeing.
Mm.
Jesus, if only we'd known before the start of this whole VAR thing.
I feel like the narrative of this game is really interesting from the commentary because... obviously, Cody was at fault for the first game. First goal. But throughout the game, the commentary team kept referencing that. It's like, they did lose 4-0. Like, you can't put all of that on him.
They looked like they had 10 men, to be honest.
Yeah.
Another clean sheet from the new Liverpool understudy.
Number one.
They got his name wrong on his shirt, though.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they missed out.
I'm sure he hadn't picked up one of the Raul ones, by accident.
Yeah, they missed out an E on his back, so...
I don't know, that's good attention to detail. I really enjoy that, Pete. Nice one. Yeah, Grieving Kelleher. Oh, no.
You're doing it now, aren't you?
It's because I got tweets about pronouncing his first name correctly from some of our Irish fans.
Oh,
I was so chuffed about it. I've become nervous about his surname. Yeah, he made a brilliant save early doors. He was great commanding his area again.
So, lovely piece about him in The Athletic about how he's just a striker that turned goalkeeper when he's about 14 or something and just never looked back, really.
Aww.
He's having a great season.
Yeah, that's lovely stuff. So 4-0 the final score, and as I say, Jürgen Klopp applauding the fans at the end with every bit of his Kloppish vigour.
Mm-hmm.
And so Liverpool go second in the table after
second.
That. All right, time for the second half after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham. Reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yeah, swear to God.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Merry Christmas!
Well, I'm talking about the sort of luxuriant quality
of the mink. Is that what he's talking about?
The mink.
Oh, bring in the mink. Andy Brassel donning a mink coat to be a pundit on BT.
Yeah, amazing. they brought in, thanks to Jules Breach, she was on his BT's Girls programme over the weekend, and they put a big old coat on Andy. Very enjoyable.
Do we know if it was actually one of Jules's from her
it
own
looked
collection?
Like a, it looked like size.
It looked like a Lass's coat, didn't it? Yeah. It looked a bit smaller than what Andy would, because Andy's quite a tall man.
He rocked it very well, though. Imagine the dance floors of wherever that studio is, we're crying out for him afterwards.
I just wanted him to play like Return of the Mac or something, and him just kind of swan around.
Didn't he just rock it? Yes, welcome back to the Football Ramble, where sadly Andy Brassel is not, but Jim and Pete currently are with me. Now, let's get a bit of a forward to score update from Betway. Entry to Betway's forward to score is free each week. What you want to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Obviously, further T's and C's apply. So this week, how did we get on, friends? Game one, Sheffield United against Leicester City. Marcus, logically, I thought, as ever, picked Jamie Vardy. The result was, I'm afraid, Iosi Perez. Jim, interesting on this North London derby, which is game two, Spurs versus Arsenal. You picked Eric Dyer.
I did, yeah. My explanation for that, which turned out to just be nonsense,
is that weird scorers in North London derbies.
You get weird scorers in intense games. And he did take that free kick, didn't he? So he had his chance and he thankfully blew it, but also, why do you hate charity, Eric Dyer?
Yeah, great point. No, yeah, it wouldn't have made sense at all to pick Heung-Min Son with his 10 goals this season. Anyway, that's who it was. Liverpool up against Wolves. And he's picked Daniel Pedence. In fact, he had that brilliant strike that Quivín Kelleher saved very early on. So
didn't score, though, did he? Don't see you digging out Brassel.
Fine. Mo Salah got the goal. And there is one remaining game, which is Brighton against Southampton. That is tonight at 8 o'clock, Luke has chosen Danny Welbeck for that one. We will be back with another round of Betway's Forward to Score on the preview show this Friday. All right, guys, let's get to your emails now. Just email show at footballramble.com right now. So Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Andy Hayes has been in touch and he says, hello, Ramblers. Andy from Ireland, but now based in New Zealand here. Catchy. I have just watched the Jack Charlton documentary and it brought up an old memory. When I was about 8 or 9, I was staying in a hotel near Dublin Airport with my parents. It turned out that the Irish team was staying at the same hotel before playing at Lansdowne Road. We were sitting in the hotel but having some food when the team walked in. In came Jack Charlton, David O'Leary, Steve Staunton, Roy Keane and Paul McGrath. I was awestruck. It was at this moment that Jack Charlton saw me and waved at me to come over. I sheepishly got up and went over and he told Roy Keane, of all people, to get up and give me his chair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know, right? What? He asked me a bunch of questions, none of which that I can remember, and asked me who my favourite player was. I said it was Pat Bonner, loved him from the 1990 World Cup. He gestured to the kit man and whispered in his ear. The kit man ran off and came back with Bonner and a jersey. He signed the jersey, as did the rest of the players. I have loved Jack Charlton from that day. I never looked Roy Keane in the eye after he gave me his chair. I assume he was fine with it.
That
lovely.
Is spectacular.
That
isn't
is an
it?
Unbelievably nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yet another one for the Jack Charlton canon. That is just so lovely. Unless, was it Mind Games he was playing with Roy Keane, Jack Charlton?
Yeah, he's going, what? You can be very easily replaced
by a child.
By a child.
Or is that just that we forget that Roy Keane, though he appears scary, is fundamentally just a human man and isn't some sort of.
Oh, what? And he gives children
fundamentally.
Sorry, you're starting on Roy Keane. Sorry.
Starting on Roy Keane now. You're moving away from Liverpool.
I fundamentally disagree. I think he's inhuman. He's like a Gundam robot.
Yeah, maybe.
a gun down robot. Someone has gunned down a robot? Or is
a
this something
down,
I don't
it's
understand
a, it's
again?
A gigantic Japanese fighting machine.
Oh.
From the 70s, I think.
Be honest, did you know that, Jim?
I did not, but I worked out from context that it would be something like that.
Mm. Yeah, I imagined it was something out of like Terminator and a robot had been gunned down by Roy right. Keane.
Yeah, fair do. So, look, it all works. It all works. The law works. L-O-R-E.
All right. Lovely stuff, guys. That is such a nice email. Really appreciate that one, Andy. Thank you for sending it in to show@footballramble.com. Let's give Crystal Palace their dues, shall we? 5-1. Just the 5-1 at West Brom. The first time that they've put 5 goals in an away game past another top flight side. A game so one-sided that Christian Benteke actually got the exact same number of goals he got last season in an afternoon.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The first one as well. He wasn't running. He just wasn't running.
I think the second one was a really accomplished finish. I know he's 30. I know he's played a lot of Premier League football, but just letting him run across his body and just lashing it on.
It was really good. And he hit it really, really sweetly as well, which, you know, is something to not be taken for granted. Roy Hodgson said, he showed everyone out there, I haven't lost everything. Sorry, I haven't lost anything.
lost everything. But I've lost quite a lot of it.
Hodgson said, paraphrasing him in his own mind, weirdly, I haven't lost anything. I'm still Christian Benteke. You can rely on me. The real test is consistency. Like, Roy's so nice, isn't he? What a lovely thing to say about a man bereft of confidence, we assume. It's good for them to get him firing again. And Zaha was just, like, imperious. Just
benched him, FPL, thank you. Fancy Premier League, thank you. Didn't need him. Don't need those points.
No.
Some lovely finishes from him.
Fantastic, it really was.
It was great. Yeah, it was just all round a great game, unless you're West Brom, obviously. Mateus Pereira sent off. This was another pitch side monitor number.
I was complaining about the VAR telly at, I think, Old Trafford, I think, recently, because I don't like how thick the hydraulic arm is that they sit upon. This one at West Brom, wasn't it? It's just like a simple metal tripod. I liked it.
Oh, simplicity. Like
yeah, I don't think they had enough room to fit the entire hydraulic arm, so they've got this temporary kind of weird little metal number. So, well done.
No shot up robot there.
No shot up robot. No Gundam robot for that.
Yeah. No, indeed. I mean, Graham Souness in the Sky Sports Studio said, there's no nastiness there. Pereira could say his legs come up because of the momentum. The fact that he catches Van Aanholt, that makes it worse, but I don't think it's a sending off. I think he has lashed out a bit.
Yeah.
Lashing out a bit. This Grensuna story.
Can you kick your legs into a man's balls and not expect to get sent off, Pete?
I think he could have argued in the moment that he was bracing himself for the player to run
okay.
into him.
Yeah.
And the player didn't hit him, so it looked probably more aggressive than it needed to be. But yeah, it was a sending off. Don't be silly, everyone.
I just, whenever Graeme Souness like says that something's not naughty enough to be sent off, or, you're just like, okay, yeah, thanks.
It's not nearly as naughty as it should be.
Yeah, it's Graeme Souness. When I was a player, you know, you could gun someone down and no one would send you off.
I think he'd say these things if he was a UFC pundit, though, wouldn't he? It's not, what's he down? What's he on the floor for? Get up!
You're so weak. Although, actually, yeah.
Stop
anyway.
The arm bars. Let's have the knee to head formula, please.
I think it's just nice to have a little chat about Palace because that's a great performance. They were up against 10 men for. What, 60 minutes?
Yeah, against a struggling team as well. But
for
I feel
sure.
like this is, I believe it might be Palace's biggest Premier League win, or certainly biggest Premier League away win. But
it's come at a time.
Yeah, no, it's
like,
good because I did actually say that earlier, so I'm glad that
right.
you...
just in one ear with you, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, I was just thinking about robots, and you know why. It's not on you. The Palace have got this in them, haven't you? You look at them on paper sometimes. You think, you know what? If they click today, they might score a lot of goals, and it's nice to see that actually come true.
Well, I mean, against Newcastle, it was just two teams that had there was no Anna Saint-Maximin, there was no Zaha, and if Zaha's not playing, they're just not at the races at all. He's such a focal point for that team, and it sort of proved in this match.
Yeah, and he was just back from his positive coronavirus test, so that was why he was back into the starting lineup. And Benteke, in fact, first start of the season, so. All guns blazing.
Not slowed by coronavirus, it seems, I have.
No, indeed. Brilliant stuff. All right, so 5-1, the final score there. We're going to drop down into the Championship now. But before we do that, we do need to speak a little bit about Millwall, I'm afraid. So, of course, what was great about this week and this weekend was that there were fans at a lot of the games, depending on what tier you were in, and there were 2,000 fans at the Den. And when Millwall took the knee in their game against Derby County, there was just a chorus of boos that rang out from Millwall fans. We know it's Millwall fans because there's no away fans allowed in at the moment. It's a very... I know, obviously, we try to speak about these things as much as we can on the Ramble because it's, you know, the point about football is that it's part of society, and clearly, you know, 2,000 people at a game of football, perhaps with some specific views, don't represent society. We're not saying, you know, this is a representation of the views of, you know, a majority or lots of people watching football necessarily, but it's just, it just seemed like such a shame that a gesture that has been so powerful, I think, for a period of time was being hijacked by people. And then the unfortunate outcome was that, or the next step, if you like, was that an MP, a Conservative MP, Charles Eustace, said that they were not booing because they're racist, but because they don't like Black Lives Matter
is a political organisation in his opinion.
And this has been, if you look at the reaction online as well, and obviously you need to sort of take a lot of this stuff with a pinch of salt with how much you read on Twitter and stuff, because it can be such a kind of contentious place. But that does seem to be the narrative of people defending it, which obviously is indefensible. But they are saying that they're booing the organisation. They view the organisation as Marxist. I don't think a lot of these people do have a fully formed 360 degree idea of what Marxism is and why they're so like vehemently opposed to it. And I obviously a lot of those people are being dishonest. They're being racist by booing that. But I wonder if there are people out there who genuinely think that they're not being racist when they boo something like that. And those people need to be reached, and they need to be educated and shown that, like, come on, this is crazy. Like, how can you justify booing something like that? And say, oh, no, it's for a different reason. Like, I think in the future, that footage will be a perfect illustration of the problem. The fact that those people are taking the knee to a chorus of boos shows you the dire situation.
I think you say that it's not indicative of society. I mean, it is in many different spheres, but I think in football, it is always Millwall. it's sometimes Chelsea, it is always Millwall. And you're in a situation where, you know, you think that BLM is a Marxist organisation and you're vehemently against that for some reason because Ben Shapiro, fucking nerd, has given you that convenient little fig leaf for your racism. Well, there were other fixtures that were played on that day in the Championship and beyond, and there was barely a peep from there. So, you know, have the courage of your convictions, lads, right? Take away that fig leaf, be as racist as you fucking want and be judged accordingly, because it's a little bit boring. Millwall spends so much time as a club trying to distance themselves from this bullshit. For me, go back to the fucking Isle of Dogs. At least there's a chance you might fall into the fucking sea. I'm bored of how many times we sort of say it's not Millwall. It's not real Millwall fans. It is real Millwall fans, and it's they've not got an excuse. It's frequently like this.
Yeah, I mean, if you're one of those people doing that, then you're a fucking failure of a human, frankly.
It's just tedious. I'm tired of that. The hand wringing of the pearl clutching. Oh, we shouldn't call them racist. They're fucking racist. Fuck them.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point as well, Jim, about, you know, whether or not people care about the organisation Black Lives Matter or think it's political. To deny that what the gesture is intended to mean, particularly when lots of work has been done, you know, with various anti-racist organisations like Kick It Out and all sorts of things have been going on for many months now, is just to be deliberately provocative, which is what it was, well, and now we're talking about it.
It's a sort of form of gaslighting in a way. It's like, oh, what, you think I'm being racist? No, you just don't understand it. It's just nonsense. It's just absolute nonsense.
Okay. Yeah, we will doubtless have to speak about that again.
But the week that we don't is the week that wins. That's fundamental. You might be bored of hearing about it. I'm certainly bored of fucking talking about it. But the week that we stop talking about Bellends being Bellends, the Bellends have won, haven't they? Because we're here to talk about football and we're constantly sidelined by this bullshit, right? We're in a situation where, you know, so many years ago, we talk about the Liverpool Luis Suarez t-shirt thing. That was, obscene, obviously. But the myopic nature of football fans is that, you know, we always support the player. We always support the club. Unless they're being anti-racist. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, this is just fucking virtue signalling, woke bullshit. I'm not having this. Rabbit there. Jammed down my throat. How is it jammed down my throat? Just shut the fuck up for a minute while they do whatever they want to fucking do.
I'm bored of this now, is a thing that we've seen a lot as well. It is a huge privilege to be bored of people talking about the, you know, systemic disadvantage that they're placed under purely because of the colour of their skin. Like, you know, like it's... There's a huge problem in society. You being bored of it is way down the list.
I will listen to people like Les Ferdinand at QPR. QPR didn't kneel this weekend. I will listen to Les Ferdinand. He makes some incredibly good points about how much work QPR have done, how much work he's done personally, how much his club's done to bring through black people in positions of power in his football club. And I think he speaks so eloquently about it, so interestingly about it. Because he's Les Ferdinand, he's a bloody legend. I think he's amazing. But the rest of this bullshit, they're not speaking from any level of intelligence or power. They're just fig leaf in their racism. And, you know, fundamentally, the day we stop talking about it is the day that that we give up, quite frankly. So yeah.
Well, maybe one day it'll go.
Let's hope so. That's what everybody wants.
All right, let's stay in the Championship and let's talk about friend of the ramble, Neil Warnock. Neil Warnock had to go to Stoke. He was pretty upset about it.
The facilities that we've got changing was an absolute disgrace today. I want to put animals in it. You know, the toilets were blocked up. They've got fumes coming in from a bloody engine outside the dressing room. Water everywhere on the floor. It's a disgrace for the Championship. Absolute disgrace. I hope we do the same when we play them up at our place rather than give them the comfortable... We weren't even social distancing where we were in these cabins what they put in. We might as well have been in the dressing room. You know, we're too nice, us up there.
Turn the other cheek, Neil. Turn the other cheek, mate. I hope we do this to them. Yeah, so the deal was basically... I don't fully understand why this had to happen, but yeah, it was this kind of porter cabin set up for Neil Warnock's borough in Stoke. And unfortunately, it was wet and it was muddy. And they should have... Was he saying they should have put animals in there because animals would have liked it better? Or he went on to say something about pigs, but I always thought pigs were very clean animals.
I thought... Well, people say that, don't they? Because... pigs roll around in dirt to clean themselves. Mm. It's like, are pigs not just getting that wrong? That still seems dirty to me. I wonder if we're giving them too much credit.
I think it's just kind of, actually, it's a bit like, what about, actually, they're actually quite clean. They're still rolling about in poop though, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Like, if I did that, I wouldn't be allowed in anywhere.
Exactly.
I'd be kicked out the prep, aren't you? Like
you'd
I was.
Never get into Stokes ground. The fumes outside is a bit weird. Like that's
fumes.
Like, that seems deliberate, doesn't it? Yeah, we're pumping fumes into our makeshift quarter cabin.
Firing microwave war weapons into the dressing room.
Look, they won. I mean, I guess you've got to use all of the weapons in your arsenal.
I mean, the thing about Neil Walker is he doesn't sound like a man who enjoys the finer things in life. His accent just kind of like goes, I'm actually quite enjoying this absolute shit pit of a dressing room. So it's agricultural. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess this was necessary for COVID, was it? Or is this just...
I thought that was it part
that's
of that
the
whole
theory.
Thing?
Yeah, right? But then are they social distancing? Are they not?
Yeah. I mean, he does say in that we weren't even social distancing.
Yeah, because it's too
like,
little.
Isn't that on you? I guess that's it then, isn't it? Yeah, it's too little. They've just made them... It sounds like they've made them a little pen. It's quite funny. Credit where it's due, Stoke.
Because at the Cambridge United game at the Abbey that I was on
up
Wednesday.
That ladder at.
Up that ladder, which I did make it up and down again safely. You'll be glad to hear. or not, I guess. they had to close all their toilets because they were only one way. And so they had to get in port-a-loos so that only one person could be in the toilet building at any one time. So I'm wondering if that is some sort of COVID-based theory here.
Yeah, I believe that is the case, yes. But it sounds like it has not met Neil Warnock's five-star needs.
I actually think he could be a bit of a Michelin restaurant man.
You reckon? On the quiet. Reckon? Do you reckon he's got a secret food blog?
It's not a secret anymore, Pete.
No.
If you out it again.
neilsmeals.com.
Yeah, get on it. If he's not doing that, it's a waste, to be honest, isn't it?
I trust what that man said about food.
Yeah, but, well, a certain type of food, though. That man knows a steak.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That man
knows a corned beef hash, a panacotti.
And a pie.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean that to sound perhaps how it does.
We've
made many jokes about Sam Allardyce and his love for gravy over the year, which is perhaps unfair.
I think Neil Warnock could surprise you. I think he could be like, you know, piping Jew over his.
Well, what I was going to say was that I think the
foie gras and air fried wagyu
steak. Treating people exactly.
I think
to
a pie can surprise
menu.
You.
Oh.
No, you can. There's no reason you can't have like a Michelin starred pie, for example. I think Warnock would know his way around one of those.
A pie can surprise you often because they're very hot, aren't they?
Yes.
Especially at football stadiums. Mm. Oh God, because all the heat gets trapped inside it, and you don't want to be burning your tongue. You
never
taste anything.
Neil's tea. If that's lapsang, I need a full investigation.
I think it is lapsang.
You think? Oh, I don't know.
That sounds like you've got some inside information there, Pete.
I'm just thinking that he looks like a man who would appreciate the smoky heft of a lapsang souchong.
I think he eats a certain type of food that we might all assume he would eat, and it will be of a very high quality.
Piped Jew over his pie.
I reckon.
Piped Jew over his pie. Yeah.
I reckon
that's
he's
my
got
position.
Like. It's like hiding a porno mag inside a fancy book. Inside his pie, he's got like something really fancy.
A fancy book.
One of those birds, you know, that have all of the...
The shameful birds that you got to put a hood on to...
Oh, I don't know. I was going to say there's birds that are very little and they have all the bones in and you eat them and they...
It cuts
break
the top of
and
your,
it cuts the top
yeah,
of
yeah,
your
yeah.
mouth and
you've
then
got
it like,
your,
has a taste sensation.
You've got to put a shroud over your head so
oh,
that...
Oh, I didn't know about the shroud.
Because it's shameful. It's a shameful thing to do. So you're hiding what you're doing from God. Which
but
is a technique I employ a lot of my life.
But amazing and shameful, supposedly.
Yeah, yeah. But
oh,
the salt of the salt of the blood from the roof of your mouth seasons the bird.
Oh.
And just have a burger, French people. Come on, guys.
Jesus Christ.
Stop dicking about.
Be honest, Pete, did you get that from Neil's Meals?
it was 5 stars.
You seen those octopuses, which I believe is correct. And I think octopuses and octopi are both correct, I think.
Stadium, stadia.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen the ones where they're... I think it's something like the something in the soy sauce makes their muscles react. So if you get
they
like
dance.
A little octopus
over
a bowl of noodles, you can pour soy sauce on it and it looks like it's alive
it's
and
dancing.
It's horrible.
Oh, my days.
Delicious.
Right, let's dance out of here into the grey, white North London day. Jules, Andy and Pete are on the way for you tomorrow. Do join us then. Lots of love, guys. Bye.
See you later, octopussies.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.